Welcome to Listen Alpha, the book podcast all about the books worth reading. For today's podcast, we have Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So this is going to be a two-part episode because this book has a lot of content and there's a lot of exercises that we want to share with you. And it might take a bit longer than we would like to be, just one episode. And I find that it's very important to put an emphasis in some of the exercises that this book recommends. And maybe I think it's better if we kind of like a two episode thing because it has too much content just for one episode. I think we really have to emphasize in this book because it's very important. I really recommend actually read this book at least once a year. That's how much impact it had with me. I don't know about you, Eric, but I find that this book has a lot of stuff that we can talk about.
Well, for someone who doesn't read too much, once a year is good, but I think at least once in your life and come back to it.
Yeah, okay.
Revise it. Because there are little gold mines in this book where sometimes you read right through it, but there's a lot in between the lines.
Yeah.
And he even says that. He says...
He does.
He says, come back to this one. He puts it in bold. He puts it in italic. And you come back to those and it reinforces one of the points he has in the book, which is you got to repeat. You have to do auto suggestion. And the more you read, the more something is going to be driven right into your brain. And the more you're going to manifest that into real life. So yeah, like come back to this book a couple of times, you know, fold the pages, take some notes, scribble it up.
Yeah, this book, it actually does recommend as well to scribble it up as much as you can. Because there's a lot of stuff, there's a lot of quotes that he wants us to enhance and put in our lives. I find that's very cool. And also the fact that the exercise that he recommends, he puts extreme emphasis to say, okay, take a second, write down this and modify it to your goals mm-hmm. that you want to accomplish and then go back to the reading. You know, for example, there's one in Desire. Well, before we start, we're going to say that this book is separated in 13 chapters. And every chapter, it's about characteristic that we have to have for us to reach success. For this episode, we're gonna go all the way to chapter 9. Does that go with you?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So what's this book about? I mean, for me, there's a 13 chapters, which is basically like 13 steps to riches, as he calls them. And basically, it's not a method. It's not go get this tool, go purchase this coaching session or whatever. It's really, it has to do with your mind and how you think about money and the burning desire to acquire it, given that you know how you want to do it.
Yeah.
By which means, as in, you know, what's your passion? You can't just get riches and get money out of not knowing what you want out of life. So as he says, as long as you know what it is you want to do, whether it's business, art, travel, or helping other people, as long as you could develop that burning desire, the 13 steps to riches, if you apply those, it's almost inevitable. This is a formula that will work. And this is the claim of Napoleon Hill in this book.
He did interview over 25 years. He interviewed more than 500 American billionaires.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that it's pretty impressive that, well, he took the time, the 25 year work to interview that many people, and they actually got a genuine insight of, you know, how they did it, how they actually managed to get where they were. I really like the way the book is kind of distribute. You know, it starts with the power of thought. He goes through with you of how to build your master plan. You know, that's what I like. You know, the first chapter of the 13 steps is the desire. And he comes and he really speaks about, okay, how do you develop this burning desire? Because if you want something, you kind of want it, you're not going to get it. If you really have like this passion towards it, and that's what I find it's important, because you can say, for example, you're super passionate about music. You, it's a burning desire to become, you know, a full-time musician or just live off your art or your music, right?
Exactly.
And I believe that there's a lot of people that don't understand that kind of like burning desire, like how to like develop that burning desire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like for example, for you, I know for a fact that that's something that you really, really want. But what I want to, like, where I want to get to is there are people that say like, oh, I just like music, so I'm just going to make music, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a burning desire. So you're not going to give your 110% for you to become that person that you want to be, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a way that he explains how to develop the burning desire, because some people, they know what their passion is and they know what they want to make out of it, but they have to somehow feed that flame for it to grow.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the hardest things, depending on who you are.
For sure, for sure.
And sometimes you have to go through hurdles that you don't want to. And one of the things that he really emphasizes in one of the chapters here is something about specialized knowledge, is that some people are jacks of all trades, but they're masters of none. But he really specifies that you have to acquire the specialized knowledge. You have to go in depth with that one thing or with that narrow field that you really want to develop. And if you can't, then you go for, what did he call it? The mastermind group?
Yeah, the mastermind group.
Yeah, the mastermind group, which is, it's impossible that you know everything in the world. Yeah. So you have to make use of other people's help.
Yeah, that's
true. Because if you want to build something, you're not going to do it alone.
No, for sure. For sure. No. But you know what, bro? That's something that for me, it's a big big issue. Like, I want to be the jack of all trades and actually be a master in it.
I know,
right?
I know,
you
know, like, man.
Because, fuck, I want to be able to do so many things at such a like high standard that I put myself, right?
I can relate.
So it's very hard. And I know, like, I have a couple of friends that actually spoke about this, right? And like, they also say that, fuck, it's so hard to just want one thing because we as humans, we experience so many things in our lifestyle, in our lifetime, right? That it's so hard to say, like, okay, this is what I want to do. And like, this is what it's going to make me and become whatever, who I want to be. Like, this book is, it says Think and Grow Rich. So we're talking about money. We're talking about money for sure. But like, if the money is an issue for you, it doesn't have to be. Like, it's a metaphor for just reaching success. Let's just say like that, so you don't get confused if your main goal is not to be like a millionaire or whatever. Like, I still want you to feel that this book can help you succeed of like reach your goals, right? Back to what I was saying, like, I really find that having just this one thing that I want to do is so hard.
It's
right,
tough, man.
And it's true that, for example, if you want to build something, you have to have help of somebody else because you cannot do anything. Just,
I mean, you can only go so far.
Exactly.
You
can, for sure,
achieve as much as you can alone, but eventually, like, he gives the example of, let's say you want to make breakfast for your family.
Yeah.
He's imagine you have to go refine the sugar yourself in whatever country you came from.
Yeah.
Now you gotta go through the Amazon jungle, pick your own banana.
Yeah.
And now you gotta go get the wheat to make your own bread.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a wide example
it's true.
The society and the group of people coming together to make one thing possible.
That's so true.
It's the same thing
That's
with
so true.
Whatever your dream is, right?
It's so hard because it's something that we, you know, automatically do. You know, like, we go breakfast downstairs in your kitchen, you make your fucking breakfast and that's it. But like, we don't realize that there is so much like exterior help to make us do the most simple thing.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's actually, that really helped me. Like, okay, if I cannot go and pick my eggs and then go to the Amazon forest to get my banana, like, I cannot do this completely alone, right? Like, I need help. And I find that it's hard when you start off, because whenever you start off something, you don't have the resources, not necessarily like the money wise, but like just the contacts. And that's something that you have to be a bit more open to receiving help from other people. And this is pretty much speaking to myself. This is an issue that I have, that I find that I try to do everything on my own and I don't succeed because I get frustrated because I can't do it right away.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like a
cycle.
Exactly.
It's like a vicious cycle.
Exactly. Right after desire, actually, before jumping into the auto-suggestion and the specialized knowledge, he talks about faith. And I really like that because I find that the faith that he expresses in this book is not the faith, religious faith.
Mm-hmm.
He takes that kind of like away from it. Just faith of the ether that he calls, you know?
Yeah.
That you find that the universe, you have to have faith that the universe is going to his wheels around to make your things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because we're like, as a society right now, we're so impatient, speaking again of myself. And I know that a lot of people are impatient. We want that now. We want the success yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just by having this faith that is going to happen, of course, if you put the hours, but that faith that it's actually going to be possible, you know, just take a breather and say, okay, relax, go through it and grind it out. The universe has to take time to adjust to what you want to be. So that helped me out a lot as well.
Yeah. And he speaks about how to develop faith. It's not just something that you could turn that switch on, right? He tells you how to combine that with emotion, because emotion is something, we're emotional beings and it drives us. So he talks a little bit about how to combine emotion with faith to make it into a real impulse, so that once you develop that faith, it's gonna help you push through the rest of the steps here. After the faith one, I really like the next chapter. It's imagination.
Yeah.
And
the imagination, what I really find that's important is that people find that, oh, the imagination is just going to come. It's just like this idea that's going to come from out of fucking nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's a misconception that that's going to come so easily, right? Why we are doing this, why Listen Alpha existed, is because we want people to realize that reading actually enhances your imagination to flow, you know?
Yeah, for real.
We go to school and whatever, but that's, you know, that's just memorize. You memorize something, then you put it, you apply it in the exam, then you forget about it. He also talks about it. We're going to get that a bit later. But what I want to get to with the book and the whole idea of this podcast is that the more you read, the more ideas you're going to get, and that ideas are going to inspire you through, like, your imagination muscle is going to grow, and it's going to be able for you to, you know, pick up on some minor thing that's going to give you like an insight to a bigger idea. So that's why I put so much effort into reading, and that's why I talk about my friends, you know, read about this, read this article, because I find that, man, it's so important for you to be constantly feeding, you know, your brain of anything. Because even if this book, it's not going to get you like this enlightenment that, oh my God, okay, I know what to do. Maybe next book is going to be the one, right? So the more you read, the more chances, like the more you read, the luckier you get at that point, like this stroke of luck. So the more you're going to get closer and closer, the more books you read, the more cultivated mm-hmm. you are.
Well, it feels like luck, but it's really a result of all the work and all the knowledge you accumulated throughout all the books that you've...
Yeah.
That you've absorbed, right? So after the imagination, he talks about, let's flip through it, it's organized planning, the crystallization of desire into action. So the chapters before that were kind of like, okay, how do you get your desire, your idea, your passion, your imagination, not how do you make it into a real thing, right? Because he also specifies that ideas are one thing. Everyone has ideas, but until they're put into action, it doesn't mean anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All the knowledge, all the ideas you have in the world. So he goes through a few steps on how to plan your actions so that they actually become a reality. Because without planning, without having an action plan for something, it's going to be very difficult to get to where you want to go. So he has a few steps to get to there. And he gives a really good example of Edison, who invented,
the light bulb.
The light bulb, exactly. He went through 10,000 iterations. And he had a plan. And he re-executed it many times. Obviously, he tweaked it a little bit. And then eventually, he came to his light bulb, changed the world, right? Sure. But he had an organization.
Yeah. No, I like that. And it's true that, you know, people, there is the famous quote that if you fail the plan, you plan to fail, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I find that it's very hard for you to get yourself a plan that you're actually going to apply. And for me, it's very hard to say, okay, I want this to happen, because, again, I try so many things and like I have so many different ideas that like, okay, this might work and then this and that. So I have to organize myself to reach, and like that organization has to come from a decision that I made. Mm-hmm. And there's a chapter just on decision right before it, because the point is that you're not gonna make something if you don't decide right now what you're gonna do and then what's gonna be your next step. And like that's how you're gonna proceed, right? If you have one, you decide on one thing and then you keep on grinding on that direction, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you know what, the decision part is a really good chapter for me, because he emphasizes that you have to be able to come to decisions quickly and promptly, but you don't change them after you decide. Yeah. Because once you make up your mind, you got to be able to focus and go in that direction. He says a lot of people kind of wavering focus or kind of not really getting anywhere is that they decide too slow, but they change their mind quickly.
Yeah.
He says the opposite of that, which is you decide quickly, but you change your mind slowly, because you know, you're going to encounter obstacles, you're going to pick up knowledge, you're going to adjust. He says that's the way to go.
Yeah.
And indecision kills. So decide what it is, what you want. Obviously, do the due diligence of thinking and feeling it. But decide quickly, because the more you stall, it's just, you're just going to be in one place and you're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So this is something that for me, this chapter really meant a lot, to kind of take a decision, and this doesn't have to be perfect, just like what we're doing, man. Like better done than better perfect. Done.
Yeah.
You just gotta move in a direction.
Yeah.
This is such a classic example.
It is, but like to get back to the decision, it's just you made a decision, even if it was a bad decision, it's better to do something than to do nothing, you know? I don't know if that's what you wanted to get.
A little bit there. But now that you're talking about the example, just quickly, they actually did a real life experiment about this.
Are you serious?
They kind of set up the whole thing, and they had these people who had no idea they were in an experiment, where they had to, it's the train, it's either you keep it straight and it hits these construction workers who are on the rail tracks, or you switch it, and
it hits a kid or something.
And yeah, it hits other people, or it hits maybe one person instead of five. They did this for real, and they had like psychologists on standby and everything, because it's a test, right?
Okay.
But there's mental implications.
Okay, yeah,
there's emotional implications, because if someone makes a decision, now they're going to... And it was very interesting.
Oh,
so
shit.
You saw how people, right in the moment, they had to make a decision, and you see their eyes, you see their face. Anyways, it's really interesting. I'll put the video in the link.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's a really, really interesting study.
Okay. Okay.
That has been philosophized for many years, but they actually put it into practice.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's about decision.
That's amazing, man. So before, put the book aside and to say like, okay, now page 0 to page 160 about.
Okay.
What did you take away from this? Like what, how are you going to change for the better? Or how this book is going to help you get closer to what you want to be?
But for me, the first half, what really made a big impact is the decision part.
Yeah.
Because I'm a person that makes decisions, but I make a lot of decisions. And sometimes, you know, I kind of look back and I go back on them, right? So the decision chapter is really important. And another one is about the faith.
Okay.
And he goes through a few exercises of like, you got to write them down. You got to talk to yourself. You got to drill it into your subconscious mind so that your conscious mind could help you make that into a reality. He's really focusing on the subconsciousbecause that's what's is basically that's what's driving you,
for sure,
and you don't know it. So the auto suggestions to your subconscious mind and making the decisions, those were the biggest takeaways from the first half of the book.
Okay.
And how about you?
Now that you put me on the spot, man, honestly, faith is a very important thing for me, because I do kind of doubt myself when it comes to goals that I want to achieve. And it sucks, you know, because if you don't believe in yourself, no one will.
Yeah, who will?
So I find that having complete faith that this is going to happen, that whatever goals I want to achieve are going to happen if, of course, I put in the work. Like, I'm not going to sit on my ass and expect it to work. Like, I know that I put in the hours. And just the self-doubt that it's not gonna happen for me, I'm trying to put that thing to the side completely. Like, I don't want that. Like, every time that I have a negative thought, I really think like, why am I thinking this, and why wouldn't it be able to happen to me, right?
I think a lot of people could relate to that.
Yeah, because it's so hard to say like, oh, you know, I'm not, and even Henry Ford, you know, he has...
Yeah, he didn't have like a... He didn't know the basic... I think he went to court and people were asking basic facts about business and about money, and he didn't know them.
Yeah, for sure.
But he was successful.
He was, because he had faith in his ability to, you know, succeed in what he wanted to do, you know? So I find that for me, that's so important that this book brought into my head, because I was super doubtful in my abilities, right? And I doubt myself even to this day. And I know a lot of people do that. And they say like, oh, I'm such a humble person. How can I get to where I want? And I find that sad, because fuck, if someone can do it, what's the difference between me and anybody, you know? Maybe, you know, I'm not going to compare it to Michael Jordan in basketball, because he had genetic that will help full for him in his sport, you know? But if I want to succeed something that I know that I can do it because I know my abilities, why wouldn't I be able to? If someone that has less abilities than me is making more, he's ahead of me, I find that if he can do it and he has a quote unquote handicap in that, why wouldn't I be able to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I am trying so hard to take all the negative thoughts, any doubt that I put in my brain. I just want to take that out, kick it out the window, man. Chew it down, spit it out.
That stuff, and it kind of sticks to you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying this is gonna be like super easy, and I still struggle with that. You know, even if I started applying meditation in my daily routine, and it's really helpful, but at the same time, it's still a work in progress. I cannot expect it to be overnight. But I find that the more and more that I say, okay, you're gonna succeed, you're gonna put in the work, and you're gonna do it, it will happen. And for me, the more and more I say it to myself, the more and more I believe it. So this first half of this book was, I'm not hesitant as much. So that's my golden nugget for this. Just
I like that, man. I could relate to that too. Yeah. So I think a lot of people can. And before finishing this one off, I think when he wrote this, Napoleon Hill, the audience was mainly Western society.
Yeah.
Because he does start off by saying, the position you're in now, you have everything you need to succeed. We have access to clean food, air, shelter. We have relatively, you could get, earn your money, get some employment everything. So we're not dealing with, I gotta go hunt for my next meal.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not dealing with, given that if you're in a somewhat decent health or in good physical state, you're not dealing with the most difficult things that most people on earth are dealing
for
with.
Sure,
so
sure.
If you're in any position where you could, you even think that you could push yourself in a direction by like 2%, just take that 2%, make it 100%, because you have no excuse.
You don't, yeah.
It's all in the mind. And
because people even said in this book, people that are in much less favorable, how do you say, like
much less favorable situation,
are making or made amazing things, right? So for you, that if you are in an average, Western society and Canada, United States, Western Europe, and even in other parts in the world, mm-hmm. you were blessed of being born in the best time of human history,
mm-hmm.
because besides what the news are saying, we are the healthiest we've been. The worldwide life expectancy is longer than ever. Mm-hmm. We're not born in the Middle Ages where, you had like a little infection, you have to cut your arm. So we're living in the best time in human history. And I believe that we have to take that to our best advantage and just fucking kill this moment in history that we have.
I like that, man. Yeah? I like that. Good.
Good shit, man.
Yo, good stuff.
Always a pleasure.
Well, I'm really excited to actually talk about the second half of the book. So that's going to be coming up. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich Part 2.
Until next time.